ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you ever think that maybe the people making all the important decisions don't have a clue what they're doing?
The UK Prime Minister is facing increasing pressure to step down.
It is ridiculous that Australia is facing a domestic gas price crisis.
They take our money, they make us look like fools.
I'm Matt Bevan, and on my show, if you're listening, we take a look at every terrible decision that led to where we are today. Find us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, oh, I just don't get what Pauline's on about, really. I mean, she doesn't understand who we are.
So when Angus Taylor was reluctant to say whether he supported multiculturalism, what did you make of that?
Disappointed. We are better than Pauline Hanson. She doesn't give a rat's about you.
Should they stick with him?
I'd go with the guy with the bat because he's in charge and he's going to go and he's going to kill the bogeyman.
They were the words of the week. Monoculturalism and multiculturalism. A week on from Pauline Hanson declaring at the National Press Club that Australia cannot be multicultural and must be monocultural, the One Nation leader was still trying to explain what she meant, even suggesting at one point the famously multicultural Socceroos side was in fact a perfect representation of monoculture because they'd all signed up to play for the same team despite their different, well, cultures. The whole linguistic debate created a bigger headache, however, for Angus Taylor. He faced difficulty saying whether he supported multiculturalism and wondered what it even meant. Perhaps this was a reflection of the pressure he's under, trying to stem the bleeding of support to One Nation. But it was also perhaps a reflection of his vision for Australia, one where celebrating different cultural backgrounds is given lesser priority, is less important, where much greater weight is placed on ensuring common values are shared. Most other Liberals, it must be said, had no qualms backing in multiculturalism. Conservatives, moderates were both keen to point out the Liberal Party has a long tradition in this space. So is this just word games or is something more in this moment? With all the focus on ensuring migrants share Australian values, is there a danger the celebration of diversity is diminished? That's what I'm keen to explore. I'm David Spears on Ngunnawal Country at Parliament House in Canberra. Welcome to Insiders on Background. Well, someone who well understands the Liberal Party's history of support for multiculturalism is the former Liberal Minister for, amongst other things, immigration and multicultural affairs, Amanda Vanstone. Welcome.
Thanks, David.
So what have you made of this whole debate over the past 10 days or so?
Look, oh, I just don't get what Pauline's on about, really. I mean, she doesn't understand who we are. And let me put it this way. Unless you're a full-blood Indigenous Australian, and not so many of them, but unless you're a full-blood Indigenous Australian, you've got migrant blood in your veins. We're all migrants. It's just a question of when your granny came or my mum came or whatever. It's a question of timing. And that's who we are. We're one of the big three immigration countries in the world. Us, Canada, the United States. We're religiously for years have been the second or third largest taker of refugees for permanent resettlement. That's who we are. It's our lifeblood, and she doesn't get it.
So when you hear Pauline Hanson say we can't be multicultural, or even Angus Taylor for that matter questioning it and not willing for a while there to even say that he supports multiculturalism, is this just definitional word games, or do you think that there's something more significant here, that we're diminishing the value of celebrating our differences?
Well, I think both those people are chasing votes and watching what they say to see where they think they'll get votes, whereas my own view is you should be saying what you really think. What is Australia? What do you want it to be? It is a multicultural country. It's as easy as that. That's who we are. We're a nation made of many, you know, bound in hope as one, building for the future under southern sun. That's who we are.
Is there a legitimate concern, however, particularly since the Bondi attack, that there are, you know, extremist views in Australia, perhaps, you know, more widespread than many thought, and that we do need right now to be putting greater weight on shared values, what we have in common rather than the differences? Do you think there's anything in that at the moment?
Absolutely. We always should be looking to remember what we have in common first. I don't think you should ignore your differences, but you shouldn't look at them alone. That's too divisive. You have to bear in mind what you've got in common. And what we've got in common is people who've left their homeland, left their families behind, their friends, the whole box and dice, and had the guts to come to the other side of the world to say, I'm going to make a better future for myself and for my kids. And they contribute to making a better future for Australia. That's the richness we've got. And when you think of it, David, you know, we're an island continent. And we don't get the benefit that they get in Europe and Asia of the cross-pollination and innovation that comes from that, from different cultures. So we need immigration, not just to build Australia, but to bring different ideas and to build us into the Indo-Pacific where we belong.
So when Angus Taylor, as the leader of the Liberal Party, was reluctant to say whether he supported multiculturalism, what did you make of that?
Disappointed.
Just disappointed?
No, there's more, but we haven't got time.
Well, you can feel free to expand and manifest.
Well, look, I mean, give me a break. You can't say you support multiculturalism and you live in a multicultural country.
Yeah. What do you think that was about? You mentioned earlier chasing votes.
Well, just being anxious about maybe Pauline was onto something with monoculture, not being able to think and say, no, she's not onto something. She's an idiot.
And look, just for the record, remind us of the Liberal Party's history when it comes to multiculturalism. Christopher Pyne, your good friend, was on 7:30 the other night, and he was talking about this, that in many ways the Liberal Party has been responsible for major milestones in helping deliver the multicultural Australia that we have today.
Well, not many people realise that it was actually the Holt government that undid the White Australia policy. The Whitlam government finished it off, that's true. Arthur Calwell was absolutely pro a White Australia policy. He regarded people coming from Europe as aliens. It's a very famous case where he tried to send back to Indonesia the wife of someone who'd worked for the Allies as a spy and was killed. And, you know, some guy ran a boarding house in Melbourne, married her so she could stay. And she won a high court case and he was furious, absolutely furious, wanted to send her back. So, you know, we've been plagued with these views all the time of send them back, send them back. But in the end, we've won out because we are better than Pauline Hanson.
Do you fear, though, that events like this week can undo that record?
Look, I don't. I have great faith in the Australian people. I look at people walking down the street, you know, going into shops and supermarkets or doing whatever they're doing, pull up at the traffic lights. And I look over sometimes and I think, you're better than Pauline.
Well, how are you viewing then, Amanda Vanstone, more broadly, the rise of One Nation and what it's doing to the Liberal Party?
Well, it's the rise of her popularity. I do worry about polling at the moment. It seems to be focusing on who's the most popular leader. Well, who gives a rat's? I know the people in the party rooms do because they worry about the popularity of their leader. I understand that. But the more effective polling was the sort of stuff Crosby Textor used to do for the Liberal Party. And that is, what motivates people? Who do they trust to do this issue more or that issue more? What issue is worrying them? Not do I like this person or that person. Politics is about much more than who you like. That's a big part of it, I get that. But it's about what will motivate you to move from one party to another.
But even on those issues, we are seeing One Nation eat into Liberal Party support, aren't we? And particularly on the issue of immigration.
Well, look, I haven't looked at the recent polling, so I don't want to comment on that. But you know, there hasn't been a clear message from the Liberals about what they think about this. And when you have no clear message, someone else will write on your notepad.
But it sounds like you're perhaps not as worried as many other Liberals are about where One Nation is in the polls.
Well,
is
look,
that right?
No, I think they should be concerned because in three-corner contests, you never know who's going to get ahead. And if One Nation was ahead and you, in my view, stupidly had done a preference swap, you'd end up electing a whole lot of One Nation people. And the history of One Nation and their candidates is not good. I mean, Pauline's history of relationships, both personal and within the party she chooses to be a part of, One Nation, is not good.
You say stupidly doing a preference deal with One Nation. Tony Abbott, who's now, of course, the Liberal Party president, he takes a different view. He's been,
He likes the idea. I don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, what does that mean when the party president has that sort of view?
Well, that's the party president. Party president's not the leader or the prime minister. Party presidents there to run the organisation. I mean, they have influence, sure. But other people can speak up. I mean, David, don't you find sometimes people complain and say, oh, so-and-so thinks this and now we all have to do that? Mm. And I look at them and say, why didn't you speak up, you idiot?
Well, Andrew
Hastie... Too many people expect other people to do the job and then complain about it but don't speak up themselves.
So they should be speaking up about Tony Abbott's views on preferencing, do you think?
Yes, if they don't agree, they should say, we don't agree.
Andrew Hastie told the Party Room this week he's never going to bend the knee to One Nation. You'd have to take him out in a box first. Is that the sort of approach the party should be taking?
Might not have used that terminology, but, you know, I wouldn't be doing deals with them. I might have a discussion about which seats will you run for and we run for. That would be sensible.
Well, that's interesting.
But swapping preferences, that's another matter.
Wasn't that the Tony Passan idea, that you carve up which seats to run in?
It might have been, actually.
And you think that's got some merit?
Well, why stand against each other when you don't know what the outcome's going to be, when you could get together and say, look, at least for these seats, if not for all of them, at least for these seats, we can make an agreement. You run for that one, we'll run for that one. Why waste your resources? I mean, common sense is not a bad thing, but it's actually a misnomer. It's not that common.
But how effective is that going to be in stopping a party that you clearly have concerns about, that wants to end multiculturalism, if you're not willing to run against them?
Well, would you run against them if you thought you weren't going to win? Why would you do that? Mm. What a waste. Mm. I mean, if you think you can beat someone, sure, beat the hell out of them. But if you can't, don't waste your resources.
Okay, that's interesting. On the other side of politics, a new party has been announced this week, Allegra Spender and Zali Stegall. Community Strong Australia. How do you think they'll go?
I have no idea. No idea. These are people who didn't like political parties. Mind you, they like transparency in party donations too, but I noticed they didn't adopt that as warmly as they said the major parties ought to.
Mm. But does it present a new challenge or a new threat at all, do you think, for the Liberal Party in urban parts of the country?
Well, look, these people occupy what I used to call the Menzies seats, that is, the inner suburban Liberal seats. You know, I can remember a discussion at a sort of lunch outside the cabinet room after the referendum on the Republic. And I think it was Downer was so pleased that the referendum had been lost. And I said, I don't know why you're so happy. You know, you voted no, but all the Menzies seats voted yes. And all the Menzies seats voted yes on gay marriage. So if you don't listen, you know, listen to what the people are saying, you're going to get caught out.
I mean, those Menzies seats, as you call them, seem to be pretty entrenched. Not arguably with Community Strong Australia, but with the independents that we know as the Teals. Can the Liberals ever win back those seats?
Well, sure. People would have said they never could lose them, and that would have been silly. So to say they couldn't win them back would be silly too. You just look, one of the most fascinating things about politics, David, I assume you agree on this, is what the polling says today, it won't say after Christmas. It's constantly changing. Things surprise you all the time. So, you know, you can never say never.
Well, that's true. Things can move very fast. So in a nutshell, Amanda Vanstone, would you say the Liberal Party shouldn't be too spooked by what the polls are saying today, particularly about One Nation?
Don't be spooked. Remain calm. Focus on what your message is to Australia and tell them that. Look, this thing about Hanson, you know, I saw her the other day saying, oh, I was right 40 years ago. And she wants to protect her legacy by getting her daughter to take over when she goes. What the hell's her legacy? What's she achieved in 40 years? Two-fifths of sweet you-know-what-all. That's what she's achieved. Bloody nothing. Bloody nothing. And she's talking about her legacy. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of John Kennedy's inaugural speech. One of the best speeches in my lifetime anyway. It has four uses of the first person singular, namely I. Hmm. Just four. Pauline has two or three in every sentence. I this, I that, I went, you know, she says Aussies are lazy, they don't go to work. She bloody pissed off and didn't go to estimates. She doesn't go to Parliament. She doesn't go to work. It's all about her. Oh, they like me out. They like to see me. It's all about me.
It really.
She's going to implode. It's all about her. It's not about us. She doesn't give a rat's about you. She's just mouthing off your fears, fanning them and saying, I'm the only one that understands. What a crock of.
This is the sort of thing we really don't hear, Amanda Vanstone, from Angus Taylor right now. Should he be adopting your sort of approach here?
Well, not for me to say, but, you know, if I was there, I'd be pointing out to Australia what a crock of she spills. And you know what she does? She appeals to the lesser in Australians. Now, I don't know about you, But when someone appeals to the better you, don't you feel better? Don't you feel, not more important, but elated that someone recognises you could be better? And she doesn't do that. She says, you be your worst and I'll be with you.
Final question. Should the Liberals stick with Angus Taylor? You've raised a few concerns about his approach on multiculturalism and so on. Should they stick with him? Or do you think someone like Andrew Hastie would do a better job?
Not for me to pick. I'm not there. But I often say to people when they ask me about leadership, look, if you're going down a dark alley and you're with a couple of blokes, let's just use blokes as an example, and the bogeyman's coming, the person who turns around and says, now, look, I'm very intelligent. I'd like to tell you what I think about this bogeyman. And the other guy grabs a, I don't know, baseball bat and says to the bogeyman, piss off. Who are you going to go with?
I'll leave that question for listeners to contemplate, Amanda Vanstone, but I think we can interpret from that you'd rather the guy with the baseball bat.
I'd go with the guy with the bat because he's in charge and he's going to go and he's going to kill the bogeyman.
And that would be Andrew Hastie?
I don't know who it is.
Okay. Amanda Vanstone, wonderful to catch up with you again. Thank you for being so frank, as always, with your thoughts on this moment for the Liberal Party. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
And we'll have more on the whole multiculturalism, monoculturalism debate on Insiders Sunday morning. Hope you can join us on ABC TV. PK back in the podcast feed on Monday, and we'll be back at the end of the week. Hope to see you then. Bye for now.
You're making us all feel very excited about being here.